Welcome to Series 2 of Encounter Points. Welcome to the inaugural episode of our second series of Encounter Points. And I'm Bill Schmidt.
And I'm Ken Hellenius.
Now, if you are with us for our first series, we're glad you're back. And if you're just now discovering our little project, welcome, and we're glad you're here.
In this episode, Bill, I think what we're going to do what they tell speechwriters to do.
No.
We're going to tell you what we're going to tell you.
Right.
Then we'll tell you what we told you.
Wow. Well told. And then over the next 13 episodes or so, we'll flesh out everything that we told folks that we were going to tell them.
That's great. So tell me what you're going to tell me. Hey, Bill, how are you doing?
All right. Good to see you again, Ken.
It is a pleasure to see you. And I think I'm particularly excited because tonight we begin Series 2.
Yay!
Having received some really fun feedback about Series 1, you know, our series on joy, Got Joy.
Yeah.
Having that out there in the world, you know, I realized something in the midst of preparing those and releasing the episodes that we were dealing with almost basically a year of recording.
Yeah.
We started recording those in, I think, July and finished in March.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, 9 months. And I've told a couple friends that to me, it's really particularly delightful because I didn't know you terribly well when we first started recording. I mean, we'd met and we'd been colleagues and coworkers, but not directly.
Right.
And so what you hear over Series 1 is really the developing, the discovery and then development of a friendship.
That's exciting. And it's a very interesting appreciation of the role of media and the role of folks in the media if they approach it with a certain gusto and a certain personalistic style. It truly is the joy of learning in collaboration with each other.
I think it's also an encounter. I mean, not
yes.
to play upon what, you know, the name, but it truly is an encounter point. Each of those episodes
was
a time when we gathered together and we brought our different ideas and we then in dialogue, hopefully came to a new understanding for each of us.
We did.
And
yes.
in the process, hopefully for the listening public.
Exactly.
As well.
So. Yes. And to the degree that other folks sensed that they were discovering along with us, I hope it brought them as much joy as it brought to us.
I certainly
and
hope so as well.
Hopefully invited them into getting to know us better.
Yeah.
Whether or not they enjoyed that, we can't decide.
Quite frankly, we're the most delightful people we know. So I don't know why.
That.
Yeah,
well,
exactly.
Yeah,
that's but enough about us. No. And actually, the other side to it is that what made those conversations work was the fact that we were meeting face to face.
Yes.
That we were encountering one another in person.
Right.
And exchanging a little bit of ourselves with the other in a way that was real and was present.
Yeah.
And that actually leads to this new series, Series 2.
Right.
Because really this is something, a concept that we've thrown back and forth in our discussions.
Right.
is the idea of incarnational piety.
Yeah.
A bit of a phrase that has some meaning beyond ours, but what is incarnational piety? We thought was properly the way to begin the conversation for this series. What do
yes.
we mean when we say incarnational piety? Because piety has, you know, multiple layers of meaning, and incarnational for us Catholics certainly does as well. And I think that's something that we should sit down and establish right here at the outset. What do we mean by incarnational piety?
That's a very good idea. And we wound up seeing the combination phrase and its application to one particular realm that resonated with both of us, which was the idea of sacramentals mm-hmm. and physical, tangible ways of expressing worship and love and closeness to God, but through our being animals, or in other words, people of flesh and blood with the five senses, etc. And I guess it's a great term, incarnational piety, because it's richer way beyond that, but it's a great way of summing up and giving, I think, a little bit more meaning to the phenomenon of sacramentals than a lot of people might automatically give that idea. A lot of people kind of just poo-poo sacramentals and all, but they fit right in with the full power and profundity of those terms.
Yeah. Well, then, okay. So when we say incarnation,
okay,
what do you mean?
Well, the incarnation is the second person of the Holy Trinity, Jesus Christ, coming to earth as a man in flesh and blood.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and so straightforward, but also so richly mysterious and deep and, you know, with implications throughout all of our theology. So it is a wonderful term, but one of the things that makes it relevant to things like sacramentals and to our everyday life today is that it is indeed about everyday life, and it kind of expresses the fact that Jesus was with us on this earth, and Jesus Christ is with us in every moment of our lives today, and it behooves us, well, as animals with five senses, to recognize that and remember that incarnationally? Would that be the way to say it?
Yeah. Well, and I'm reminded, of course, of the fact that being, as we're recording this, at the very end of the Easter season, right?
Right.
In which Christ has already ascended to the Father, and so we don't have the physical manifestation of Christ except through the sacraments of the church.
Right.
And through the experience of the body of Christ, which is one another, which is you
exactly.
and me.
Yes,
this is, of course, that great prayer of St. Teresa of Avila.
Right.
Christ has no body now but yours.
Yes.
You know, this idea. We are the physical extension of Christ who has ascended back to the Father.
Right.
Whom, as you say, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Son, descended into our world in order to reconcile the world to himself.
Indeed.
And to make of us a gift, an offering unto the Father.
Yes.
And so then when we practice our faith at the command of Jesus to do this in memory of him, as we do in the Eucharist, and when we celebrate the other sacraments, we are actually doing an act of justice toward the Father, the creator of all things. That is, we are giving back to the Father the gifts that he has given to us in justice.
Indeed. Yes.
So when I think of piety, then I begin to think about this act of justice. We owe this to God because God, in his goodness, has given us everything.
Yeah.
And we give, what, a tithe, a 10%, you know, and that's if I happen to have a dollar or a $2 bill in my wallet. Not many $2 bills these
probably
days.
Not,
I don't
probably.
Care. That's, as an uncle, I do send the $2 bill to my nieces and nephews because it's memorable, right?
Right.
But when the basket comes by, I'm rarely am I throwing in the $2 bill. But I mean, yeah, we give but a small amount of our time and our talent and our treasure back to God directly through supporting the work of the church, through acts of charity, you know, when literally everything we have, we received as a gift from the Father.
Yes.
And so justice demands that we return it to God.
I like that.
So,
yes.
So piety is these acts, these forms, as you say, of devotion that can also be very concrete actions that are shown in love for another.
That's
out of love for God.
And I think a lot of people interpret piety as pious actions that people do kind of for themselves, in and of themselves, almost just simply to convince themselves that they are holy people and kind right. of, whereas it really is true that the whole idea of piety is not self-focused, but God-focused.
It's supposed to be God-focused.
Yes.
Yes.
That's a very good way of defining the term as well.
So now you mentioned sacramentals, which is, right. of course, itself a technical term within the Catholic faith.
Yes.
So we're going to need to unpack that.
Right. Yes. Yes.
What do you mean by sacramental?
Well, sacramentals, let's see, the what's the formal definition of sacraments from the catechism? They are signs instituted by Christ to give grace, right?
I think it's efficacious signs.
Efficacious signs,
yeah.
Right. Whereas sacramentals don't quite have that same power to bestow grace, but they are signs that, in a different sense, are efficacious because, as Mother Angelica used to say, they're holy reminders.
That's right.
Right?
Right.
And they focus our minds and hearts on grace and on the presence of God in our lives at any given moment, and indeed at every moment. So that's one way of getting at the term. It's probably not the official term. In fact,
I think you're really close. Well,
yeah.
And we'll look it up.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Pointers, reminders is a good way, right? So
right.
we surround ourselves with, for example, and we'll dig deeper into each of these. We surround ourselves with holy images.
Right.
We have a holy water font at the entrance to the church to dip our fingers in to make the sign of the cross to
right.
remind us of the fact that we are signed in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Looking around here, the beautiful Southbrook Studios, we've
yes.
got, you know, right above your head, we've got a second-class relic of St. John Paul II,
cool.
a hat,
yes.
a zucchetto that I swapped with him. You know, we have images of the saints. As I look over here, I've got St. Dominic. You know, I mean,
right.
these are, we surround ourselves with our friends. I'm wearing a scapular, you know, of the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which has
beautiful.
A number of medals attached to it as well. These themselves are not the things that save us, but they point us back to that which does save us,
yeah.
Christ's action in the sacraments, his gift of efficacious, sanctifying grace
yes.
that is poured out to us in the sacraments, particularly baptism, confirmation, the Eucharist, reconciliation, and then, of course, marriage, holy orders, you know, these sorts of, all of the sacraments
yes.
are useful to us, anointing of the sick.
Right.
They are the actual conduits of sanctifying grace
right.
that the sacramentals remind us of, point us back to, and invite us to, such that when I'm, you know, sitting, surfing the internet, for example, and I come across a lewd image or whatever, and I think about the fact that I'm wearing a scapular, I have a crucifix hanging around my neck, that reminds me right then and there, do not click on this link that
indeed.
Is going to take you down a rabbit hole that you do not want to go down,
yeah.
a rabbit hole that will lead to sin, because I'm reminded by the sacramentals.
That's
I'm reminded by the
good,
things
yeah.
around me. So
yes.
these are the great gift of the incarnational things around us, the things of flesh and blood and metal and rock and stone and all of these things
right.
that help us remain focused on, hey, look at this. Here's
yes.
a sign of love as well.
Right.
As my dog comes in, as Phil comes in.
Hello, Phil.
And expresses love and you're petting his head. I mean, this is a sign of affection.
Yeah,
you know, two ways. He's wagging his tail,
yeah.
and that is an incarnational sign of his love
yes.
for you.
Yes, and we can and should take great meaning in just the little things that we see and touch and all use all our five senses with, because they can and should have as much meaning, as much positive meaning as
mm-hmm.
possible. I like that point about just enjoy your pet dog wagging his tail. That's a joyful thing that can bring joy to everybody.
There's nothing for me, honestly, more joyful than seeing my dog's tail wag.
Fair enough.
It just means he's happy, and that makes me happy.
Yeah. That's cool.
I'm delighted that you, of course, and I knew we would get here at some point. We always do. The Franciscan is delighting in the animal that is in his presence.
Yes. Well, actually, increasingly, I've thought a lot about service dogs and therapy dogs and seeing eye dogs, etc., and how God is indeed working through them and working through all of creation. And St. Francis certainly knew that. And it's just a delight to see how God works on us, with us, through
creation.
The rest of creation. Yeah. Exactly.
And, I mean, this is man's best friend sitting right here next to me, you know? And that's one of those, I mean, I'm delighted by him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, and delight, well, that fits in very much with our first series. Yeah. The idea that, boy, if we're not showing delight and joy in the presence of God in our lives, we're probably not going to be very good evangelizers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. There's a reason why, again, Pope Francis, the smile on his face, you know, it draws people in.
Yes.
You know, and that's, again, that is an expression of invitation, which is received only when he's trying to encounter you, you know, an accompaniment, right? The idea of accompaniment is exactly what Christ did in the incarnation, right? Yes. Because if you think about it, we were talking about justice a moment ago, the idea that God the Son came into the world in the flesh to redeem the world was an act of love.
Yeah.
And it was an act of accompaniment, because God could have, in justice, just decided to forgive sin.
Right.
And that could have been it.
Yep.
But
just snapped his fingers.
God the Son chose to take the flesh. And as we learn in the letter of Paul to the Philippians, he emptied himself and took the form of a slave.
Yes.
And was born in human likeness. So it is this act of accompaniment, being with us, God with us, Emmanuel, that leads to our salvation.
Exactly. Yeah. He did not see the form of God as something to be grasped.
That's right.
But wanted to share divinity and humanity with us.
Yeah, who was the saint who said that God became man so that man might become God?
Yeah, that's an awesome statement. Yeah.
It's one of the early fathers. Mm-hmm. We'll look that up later, too.
Fair
It'll
enough.
Be in the show notes.
Exactly. I love writing those show notes, because I learn as much going deeper as hopefully our listeners do.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that seems like we've pretty much kind of laid a little bit of the groundwork of what we're going to be talking about here in Series 2. So we're going to explore sacramentals. We're going to explore also other things. You know, we'll get into songs. We'll get into the some of the prayer forms of the church in the liturgy. We won't necessarily discuss the sacraments directly, but again, sacramentals. Because these are popular expressions of piety, and we'll draw upon the documents of the church, especially there is a directory on popular piety in the liturgy that came from the Congregation for Divine Worship and the Sacraments.
I've been waiting for the Cliff's Notes version of
that. Yeah. So we'll make reference to that, and of course we'll have links to that in the show notes as well. We'll be drawing on things that we read in the catechism, will be of course in writings of the saints, and especially the teachings of the various popes that help us dig a little deeper into things like the rosary and into things like what is the scapular, especially we're going to try to talk about things that maybe are not as well known among younger generations that maybe used to be popular and are popular and should be popular again in some ways.
Oh, very much so. I think that would be a great result of our series here, just to let people know what some sacramentals meant to us growing up and in our families, etc., and why they might want to re-experience and share them anew.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, Bill, I'm excited for Series 2. I'm not going to lie to you.
No, me too.
I mean, I shouldn't lie to you anyways, because that's I mean, that's not an act of piety towards a friend. You know, filial piety, the piety of a son or of a brother to a brother. I would not lie.
Fair enough. Yes,
that would be unjust.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. See, all of these theological concepts tie in. tie in with each other.
Well, great.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see you next week.
Oh, very good. Looking forward to it. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this inaugural episode of Series 2. You can subscribe to hear future episodes at our website and counterpoints.com. Our theme music is Leaves by Airtone, licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution License. And we hope to encounter you in the next episode of Encounter Points.